This program contains strong language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome to Parenting. It's a podcast about kids that kids shouldn't listen.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the first episode of Parenting in forever, I want to swear. That's how long
Literally
it's been.
Literally forever.
I am Mark Adam, and this is my cousin, the Katie G.
Yes, we are back. It's been a minute.
It's funny because a year ago today, we posted on our Twitter, we're coming back soon because that was the plan. And then shit happened and I had to move and all this stuff happened. And we're like, okay, we'll postpone it back a little bit. And so a year later, literally to the day that we announced that, we're recording this episode, October 7th, 2020.
We didn't say how soon. We said soon.
I mean, I'm 37. Relative to my life, that's a drop in the bucket, a year, really.
Yeah. Like, I'll see you soon. I'll see you in a year. That makes total sense. As an adult, that's how I work with my friends. I'll see you soon.
It's not like this year has been a normal year either. 2020 has been a year of... Keskafucks and what the hells and are we gonna die and that mm-hmm. that feeling and that fear is actually still floating over us all right now, like 100%. Are we going to die? So it's just so ridiculous that we're actually like at that point where we're actually wondering, are we legit gonna die? Is that a thing?
Yes, first of all. And second, it's like...
Yes, we're going to die?
Yes, we're thinking that. No.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not. Well, I mean, we're going to all die eventually. So,
Katie, bring it down. Bring it down. Okay, bring it back around. Okay.
Sorry. What I was going to say is I'm surprised that it took us this long to actually start the podcast back up. Like, I know we've all been like, we've been doing other things and obviously the pandemic happened, but I think what I've seen personally happen during the pandemic on a positive note, we'll say, like on the little teeny tiny positive end, that
silver lining style.
Yeah. Like there has been so much more podcast content. Like there is so much of it because people are, you know, they were stuck in their homes for a long time. Some people are still stuck in their homes. You know, we're lucky here in Nova Scotia that, you know, our numbers are very, very low. We have our little Atlantic bubble that we're just trying to keep everyone else out of it so that we stay safe. And so I feel very, very fortunate. But on the other end, I'm just like, I can't believe we haven't done this sooner because I've literally been in my house. I'm working from home. I've been here since March. I have an actual desk set up now. Like if you guys ever see videos, we'll probably post some pictures, but like I actually have a desk now, an actual proper setup.
Which is crazy because you used to just sit on your bed or sort of sit at the kitchen table or whatever.
Wherever I could find a quiet-ish place in the house, basically. Yeah. So I tried in different places and then I now actually have a little mini office set up. So this is wonderful.
And I always had like a small desk set up, but now I have a straight up office. And I'm actually moving it to another room in the house because it's going to make a lot more sense. And then the room that is my office will be like a playroom for the kids. So it's going to work out real good. So just to catch you all up, what happened was I moved, and I moved from a one-bedroom apartment where I lived with – it was just me and my cat Lex and my daughter Amelia, but I have Amelia half the time. So we just shared a bedroom. She had a bed in there. I'd have a bed in there. And we do the co-sleeping thing, so she was welcome to sleep in my bed whenever she wanted to. And I was just like, go to bed in your own bed first, and then when I go to bed, if you want to come – lay with me, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not like I will never say no to you coming into my bed kind of thing. Like co-sleeping, I think a lot of people do it where they're like they just put the kid in their bed, but co-sleeping means they can come sleep in your bed Once they're a certain age, like if you have a bed for them, put them in the bed. And if they get up to come to you, that's fine. You know, but that's the way that I'm running it. So anyway, now she has her own bunk bed with a desk under it. She's got she has the master bedroom in the house, to be honest, because I moved from that one bedroom apartment to a 4-bedroom house. And
what a huge change.
Yeah, it's a bit of a switch. And during the lockdown, sort of just out of convenience and sort of the flow of our lives, my girlfriend moved in. And she has a daughter. So Amelia just turned 6, and Jamie, the girlfriend's daughter, she just turned 8, sorry, on October 1st. So they're... And they're very good friends. But, like, I mean, like any kids, they argue sometimes. And like any siblings, they argue sometimes. Because they're essentially, for all intents and purposes, they're stepsisters. It's my daughter, my stepdaughter. But it's my girls. They're my girls. It's fine. Like, they're, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's just so.
And they're also girls, and they're going to pick at each other. It's what they do.
Oh yeah. I mean, boys do the same thing, but it's more like hit you with a stick.
It's punch. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, Ryan and I had this conversation, actually, because the girls are now, they're now, which is crazy, but Jillian turned 14 in July.
And
Allison is turning 16 next month.
Oh my God, driving and everything.
I know. I can't wait, actually. I know that some parents have this like fear. And yes, of course, those fears of like them driving, but I cannot wait to not be a personal taxi anymore.
I can imagine.
Paid. I don't. All I get are, can I go here? Can you pick me up? Can you take me here? Can you pick me up? All the time. All the time. And especially now that I'm home, working from home full time, it's just unreal. But anyway, continue with your update.
Oh, right. And then we'll go back and you can like fill us in on all the gaps. But
sure.
So on my end, we moved into this big house and then the world ended. And then because COVID hit. So and I was working as at the Manitoba Club, which is a pretty posh spot. And I believe I was working there when we stopped the podcast.
Yes, you were.
Yeah. So anyway, so I quit my job there to pursue this project that I built while COVID was a thing. So during the lockdown, while I was at home on CERB, I do not have the ability to do nothing. I don't have the ability to sit still. I just can't. I lack that capacity. So
this is the guy that's doing 6 different things at once right now.
Yeah, well, still. So. But it's cute because somebody's messaging our
He's buffering.
Just no, I just realized I have my toggle time tracker and I've got the wrong project going. So I'm just going to put parenting and I can adjust the times after the fact. I'll figure it out. But it's my time tracker. But I have, because I'm doing multiple projects right now, and I'll get to that. I have a time tracker and I just, whenever I stop doing one thing and switch to another, I hit stop and put in what I'm doing and then start the timer again. So it's like I know exactly how many hours I've spent doing stuff at any given time, any day, which is wonderful. And it takes a lot of the stress off too, so I don't have to figure out. But I can also look at my time and go, I spent too much time doing these things when I should have spent more time doing these things.
I used to like the time tracking basically like at my job. We used to have to track your time all the time. Yeah. So you're constantly have these timers on the go and you click off and I totally get that.
Yeah. So that was a big sidetrack. But the point is during COVID, I sat down at my computer and I had this idea for a business. And if you're in Halifax, like Katie, you're very familiar probably with The Coast. So thecoast.ca. And so they're like a weekly independent newspaper, but they really cornered the market in Halifax on event listings. And there's nothing like that in Winnipeg. There's a bunch of things that I've tried, and there's one for just music, and there's some for like theater, and for this one particular venue, they have their own thing. And, you know, some people are using Eventbrite. A lot of places do Facebook events, but not everybody and not every event. And like,
so there's like no one central place you can find that information.
Yes. And I mean, it's a fucking mess is what it is. all of these like different event sources. And I was like, why don't we have something like The Coast here? And I've been thinking that since I moved here, because one of the struggles I had with Winnipeg when I first came was everybody told me the art scene and the music scene was so awesome in Winnipeg. And as a musician and an actor in Halifax, that was very appealing to me. So when we got here, I was like, those fucking liars. Which, and I've come to find out that they were not lying. It was just really difficult to find that stuff. So now I want the people coming in behind me not to have that same sort of struggle to get to a point where they know where everything's at. So the WPG comes in there. So the WPG magazine is what I called it. And that's actually, we're going to be hosting our podcast as part of the WPG magazine network, like a podcast network. So that's
so
a thing.
Fun. That's so
super
cool.
Fun. I'm very excited about the future for us. We have so many avenues to explore. Plus, the podcast without a network, this like it's such a cathartic thing to be able to sit here with my cousin but from back home who I don't get to see much and just rant about the bullshit that kids bring. Like it's
that's
wonderful.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of how we started this, really. Like, we were talking and we're like, I miss your face. I want to talk to you. We also have these things in common. Like, let's just find a place to do that. And like, a podcast is the perfect place. But it also, like, it's like we both are business type oriented, maybe, I don't know, A type people. But
I'm not type A. Fuck off.
But it's so nice to actually be on like some sort of schedule to do this. Like, I mean, it would be weird if we like set a schedule, I think, as just family members to like talk at this certain time on this certain day every week kind of thing. But to
although
do this,
a lot of families, especially now during COVID, they are doing that. It's like every Sunday we will all gather on Zoom or Google Meet or Facebook Messenger because they just introduced those rooms and stuff. Like, I think a lot of people are actually doing that, but continue.
No, now more so than ever, like everyone is utilizing their technology in order to actually see their family members. So I think before when we first started this, we weren't really doing that because we weren't in a worldwide pandemic. But now that's more normal. But I think when we first started, it was like, I just want to talk to you. I want to see you. So like, let's do a podcast. Like, why not? And now I think now that that's so much more, I mean, not that it wasn't before, but everyone is using the internet for connecting with people because we have to, because we can't go anywhere. So I'm just like I said earlier, I'm just surprised it took us this long to like restart this back up. And I'm so pumped that we're doing it. So
yeah. And again, part of like, and my continuing story is kind of why we haven't gotten there. So I built this thing, the WPG magazine, and it got to a point where all of a sudden on June 15th, I'm like, I'm going to start selling ads. And I just literally was like, I casually said it to some folks and boom, had ads all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, crap. And then so then I'm like, I got to make more content, got to make this, got to make that. Because people, if they want to advertise, they want to see the number of hits. And so I was pushing really hard all the event listings. So people were coming to the site en masse because of the advertisements I was putting out there. They were coming to the site to see the events that were listed. And now with the events being sort of kiboshed because Manitoba went into the restricted state. So we're pretty like we've had a bit of a setback as far as Manitoba's COVID numbers. It's they've been spiking a little bit, so this is a second wave sort of deal. And it's kind of nice that all of a sudden there's this project that I feel super passionate about that I can pursue. I was very sad to leave the club because I loved working there. I loved working with the people there. I was treated very, very well at the Manitoba Club. I really was. They really take care of their own, and I feel like they really saw me as their own, and it was awesome. And the members took to me, and I really enjoyed all the members there. And they really treated me well all across the board. Staff, members,
it's like a little
management.
Family. You get really close with people, right?
Exactly, because you're seeing the same people all the time. And anyway, I really, really, really enjoyed that job. But I got to the point with the WPG where it was like, I have to either do this full time or it's going to wither on the vine.
Totally.
And so I decided I have to do it, and I took the plunge. And I've never taken a plunge like this on my own before. I've taken some sidesteps and done some crazy projects that were like nuts ideas that were other people's sort of led the way, and I sort of came in and either took over like management of something or took over a part of it, and And it's always been pretty rewarding. Even when they fail, you learn a lot, and totally, it's been great. But this project, the WPG Magazine, has kind of consumed me, and I love the premise of it. All the feedback I'm getting back is very cool. Anytime I explain it to venue owners or like event organizers, things like that, they're all like, wow, that's awesome. We really need that in Winnipeg. And I'm like, I know. And I couldn't believe that it didn't exist before. And I got tired of waiting for it, so I built it. That's what happened. That, and that's one of those silver linings you were talking about. Without COVID happening, I wouldn't have had the time. I'm sitting around with this idea in my head. I'm like, when am I ever going to find the time to do this? And then, like I said, the world ended. So I sat at my desk and did it.
But you also had to take like a plunge though, right? Like, because even though you're home a lot, like it would be a lot to just to stop doing your job and like focusing solely on this. Like, even though it takes all your time, it's a big risk to do something like that.
Agreed. And financially, like, and I'm very, very lucky. My girlfriend, whose name is also Katie, by the way.
it's a great name.
Katie N, not to be confused with Katie G. There's, true. There shall be no incest.
That's true.
So, date outside your family circle. Just saying. Whenever possible. She's been super supportive of me and of the project and all the time that I have to spend doing it, knowing that long term it's going to be great for the family, but short term a lot of pressure and stress is on her to get the bills paid and things like that. I'm throwing in money left, right, and center where I can. I also took on a position part-time working for this company called Moken Group out of Vancouver. Some people I've worked with before in the tech industry, and I'm doing some project management for them on a very part-time basis. But that's a little bit of supplement fund. And like, but it only takes a couple of hours a week, which is perfect because I can spend the rest of my time. And I'm already at my desk anyway, so then I just switch my toggle tracker from the WPG project to the other project that I'm working on. Which I can't actually discuss, so we'll skip that.
Ooh, top secret.
Well, it's one of those things where it's like it's somebody else's intellectual property, and so
yeah, no fair, I get it.
Yeah, so when they're ready to launch it, then you'll know about it, and then I can tell you everything you want to know. But up to that point, it's their secret to tell, you know.
No fair.
I don't want to.
Can I like pause for 1 second? This is gonna be really hilarious, but I have a screaming cat at the door outside. He decided that he wanted to go outside, and now he has decided he would like to come inside, and that's all I can hear behind me is him yelling.
Okay, we will wait. Wait for you.
It's literally right behind me. 1 second.
I guess I'll just do what you gotta do, Katie G. She's rescuing her cat from the outdoors.
Oh, me.
All right. I think the cat has been saved.
All right. The screaming cat is now back inside to eat his food and take a nap.
That's perfect. Listen, speaking of cats, I want to get something out of the way right off the top.
Yeah.
2 days ago, October 5th, 2020, and another victim of 2020, it was my beloved cat Lex.
I know.
He was with me for a lot of years. He was very old. He lived a very spoiled life, if you ask anybody that knew him. But it was time to say goodbye to him on Tuesday. And I was a bit of a wreck. And I'm still kind of really upset about it. And it's going to be a little bit before it goes away. But I loved him very much. I'm not a cat person per se. But he won me over for sure. I'm definitely, if I had to pick dog or cat person, I'm definitely more of a dog person. But he was special, I think. And he was a really good friend to me through some of the worst parts of my life. Some really tough, tough times. And he's been there through some absolutely amazing times. And he's just always been a constant. And my daughter, Amelia, has known nothing but him in her life. Yeah. And so she's very upset right now too, to have said goodbye to Lex. And
I was just going to ask you how she took it, because because as a pet owner, it's obviously, if you're a pet owner, you don't ever want to have to make that decision. Like I remember like my mom with our family dog, she's like, I just want him to go on his own, 'cause I don't want to have to make the decision. And so to have to make, like, say this is it. And like, it's, I also, I obviously have cats. But I can't imagine having to make that decision. But then also, like you said, when you have kids who are also attached to those animals, I was curious how she took it, because she's pretty young too. So, you know.
Yeah, she, well, like I said, she just turned 6 at the towards the end of September there. And, but she's been very sad because we've known for about a week that it might be time. Mm-hmm. We were at the vet a couple of weeks ago, and then he just wasn't getting better with the medication we got. And he got to the point where he literally wouldn't and or couldn't get up. Like he'd be laying down and he would just pee where he was laying, you know, and he wouldn't or couldn't get up. So he'd just pee and lay in his own pee. And do you know what I mean? Like, and you can only...
That's so sad.
Yeah. Like, I just couldn't let him do that.
That's no quality of life, obviously.
Exactly. And so we had to let him go. And I'm going to try and... We're going to move on because I don't want to get too emotional and ruin the rest of the show. But I'm really sad about that. He was he was a big part of my life and a big part of Amelia's life. Like, we sometimes forget that kids... They don't get a lot as far as like intellectual things yet. They're getting there and they're learning. And this is the first year that Amelia is going to school and everything during COVID, of course. Why not? Right. Yeah. But I mean, it's not like she went to school before and knows the difference to her. Yeah. This is just how school is, exactly. Which is fine. So kids are so emotionally tuned in. Mm-hmm. They respond to emotion before they'll respond to anything else. And Amelia handled it and is handling it quite well, I think. She's voicing, I'm sad because, you know, and so she's getting those words out and she knows how to articulate that. And I'm very happy for that. Like, it's upsetting me that she's sad. I have my own sadness and then I have sadness for her. And it's a sad time all around when you lose a member of the family. Even like people are like, oh, it's just a cat. Yeah, but that cat was in my life for 15 years.
I disagree with those people.
how many hours a day for how many years? You know, his whole
family.
Life. Yeah, and we were his whole life. Like all he knows is us.
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely.
You know,
true.
Yep. So you know it's anyway. To those, it's just a cat, people, eat a dick. Anyway, so...
just a whole bag of them.
just a bag of dicks. He's... But he was old and he had to go, but Amelia's been handling it so well. And that's... Kids are so resilient, you know? They're so rubber. Like, everything is just new to them and they're just constantly taking in new information. They're getting hit with all these, like, epiphanies and clarity moments and... They're just like, wow, I didn't know that. Now I understand that. And my daughter can look at a sheet of words and tell you what every word on it is. Reading entire books is not a thing yet. But we're like, she's progressing so fast. But I mean, kids from the very beginning, they respond to emotion. Mm-hmm. And she can tell that I've been very upset. And I've been trying to shield her from as much of my emotion as I could. But I did have a breakdown there one day. I had tears in my eyes and stuff. And Amelia came and... She hugged me and she kissed me and she told me it was going to be okay. And she was crying.
That's so sweet.
I told her it was going to be okay. And
yeah.
But kids, they're just the fucking best. You know,
well, you know, like I get like,
they're also the worst, but
I totally get what you're saying. Like they are so emotionally in tune. And I do find that, I mean, you're lucky in the sense right now, like just from what you're saying that, you know, Amelia is able to actually voice that to you in a way where, you know, she is kind of almost comprehending it on a more of intellectual level of how she's feeling to be like, I'm sad because of blah, blah, blah. And so, I mean, from my personal experience, with the girls, you know, it was, I wouldn't say maybe at that age, but I would say probably around like the 8-ish age, it was, there's a lot of stuff going on. And especially as they get a little bit older, there's like the hormone stuff that goes on, but from my experience, I'm feeling a lot of emotion and I don't know how to express it in a way that is thoughtful. It's more of a, I'm, you know, rage throwing this and I'm, you know, screaming or crying because I don't know how to communicate that. So I think it's so important for parents to really try and open up that dialogue and conversation as much as you can when they're feeling a certain way, because you're able to give them skills to be able to communicate that in a proper way and not, I mean, yes, they're going to throw a temper tantrum. Yeah, they're going to cry for if they want something and they didn't get it or whatever. Like, that's going to happen, obviously. But, you know, I think it's so important that I learned that you really need to nip it in the bud real as soon as you can to be like, that's not an appropriate response. I get that you're feeling a certain way. Yep. Let's talk about it. So I think that's a really great thing that if Amelia is able to come to you and be like, I'm feeling this certain way, and you can talk about it, because it's not like I need you to fix it, because a lot of the times you can't fix something and how they're feeling. They just feel that way, and that's it, they just need to know it's okay to be sad or to be mad or whatever it might be. So I think that's really, I think that's really cool.
Teach them the proper way to, like, when you say being mad, like, it's like you said, kids get super mad and they don't know how to deal with that, and then, like you said, you're just throwing things, and but like dealing with that, knowing that it's okay to be mad, but there's a way to go about it so that you're not hurting other people or yourself. But also the other thing, I mean, like, Amelia is in this spot now where she's going to school for the first time. She's never been to school before this year, right? So she's in grade one at a private school. So the whole, like, her whole life just shifted right there, because that's a whole new experience.
Wow.
We got COVID going on, so there's this giant virus threatening to shut everything down at, you know, at any moment. And then there's my, like, Lex having just passed away, and all the stress of, like, him being really sick for a couple of weeks, and us trying to do everything we can to try and help him and make sure he can stay with us for a little bit longer, which unfortunately didn't pan out. But but, like, there's all these stresses, and she sees all of it. Like, and so Jamie too, my other daughter, she sees, and she's 2 years older. She's been to school for a few years, and so this year is, like, all different to her. There's all these new stresses, and she's used to a certain way, and her whole routine is messed up.
They're both, like, experiencing something totally different. Like, they're both, even though they're so close in age, they're, like, both doing, they're probably processing and going through two totally different things.
Exactly. And as a parent, and especially, like, as a step parent, and you can, you might be able to get this as a step parent yourself, but, like, as a step parent, where, like, I don't have the experience with Jamie from the rest of her life to be able to go, okay, that's what this is. So I defer a lot to her mom, because her, obviously her, she's, it's just been her and her mom for their, her whole life, essentially. So, she's the way that Jamie processes things is different than Amelia, but I know Amelia's, like, emotional language, her body language, and her cues. Whereas with Jamie, I'm still trying to figure a lot of that out. And it's new, and it's,
as soon as you figure it out, it'll change.
Well, that's the other thing, right? It's a constant evolution, and I'm playing catch up as it is. And that's the struggle for a lot of step parents, I find, is trying to connect to that child, especially where I already have a child. The way that I raised my child was blah, but the way that my girlfriend Katie raised Jamie was blah. So trying to figure out what her system is versus what my system is. And Katie's trying to be there and be supportive for Amelia in the way that I am, but also in her own way. And it's just, it's this crazy melding of two family units that
it's a good balance. Like, it's nice. It's actually, and it's some, I find sometimes it's like, I don't have the experience you did with having my own child, bringing it into the relationship where we both have our own children. I say own children as in, like, you know, birthing them separately, because I find, like, now, especially because I've been in the girls' lives for so long, I feel like they're my own kids. so I use that term loosely, because I know that there are probably a lot of other step parents out there too who feel the same way. But I mean, there is that divide, but there are, you know, different ways that you either handle a situation or that you parent them in different ways. And Rod and I definitely do. We see eye to eye on a lot of things, but we will handle certain situations completely differently. And not that one's right and one's wrong. We just, it depends on which kid it is. It depends on the scenario, because we're constantly battling through with them on what their emotions are. And, you know, you don't want to say no to just everything because they're being a pain in the ass. Like, there's a little bit of compromise, and, like, we'll get into that, but, like, we've really hit, like, a good point, I think, with both kids right now. We're at a really good spot with both of them, and it was a little rough there for a while. So, we're both kind of feeling, well, I think he feels the same way, but yeah, I think we're both feeling a lot better about the way that things are going right now. But yeah, it is kind of like a constant battle. But the conversation between you and your kids or your stepkids is huge. Like, yeah. You really need to keep that going, because there's days where I'm like, I've had it and I don't want to deal. And they also feel the same way. So when I used to get mad at them for being so dismissive, I'm like, wait, I do that. So sometimes you need your own space.
There's also the two things that you and Rod have are different too, is your age differences, right? So you're from different generations, essentially. I'm 37 and Katie's 28, right?
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like there's like 9 years between us. Mm-hmm. Then there's, I'm a guy, she's a girl. So our life experiences have been different. I grew up in Halifax, she grew up in Winnipeg. So our life experiences have been different.
Totally,
and so we're both coming at it from very different angles, mm-hmm. and from very different backgrounds. You know, my parents were together my whole life and are still together to this day, even though they're empty nesters, they still stayed together. They weren't just together for the kids. They would have kicked us out a long time before that if they could have. And then Katie's coming from a place where she, like, her mom is actually her ex-stepmom. Like, the lady that she calls mom is, like, her dad's ex.
Wow.
Yeah, and, like, okay. So, but her biological mom, like, yeah, is she doesn't really talk to her, and, like, it's
complicated.
There's this web, and that those experiences are very important, especially when rearing children.
Yeah.
And yes, I said rearing children like a 90-year-old, but
I wasn't going to say anything, but yeah.
I know. I saw the look on your face. Anyway, so they can't, but I see the look on your face, Katie. Okay. I can see your face, remember?
I forgot you can see my face. My
it's God. An audio podcast, but I can see you. Anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I feel good because we're coming at it from different places, so there's more experience to draw on. But it's a little rough because I can't always explain what I'm doing. I'm doing it because I'm feeling my way through. And same with her. She's doing it because this is what she knows and she's feeling her way through. So communicating with each other about how or why we're doing things a certain way is tough. And when there's kids in the middle, it matters. And so every once in a while I'll do something and it'll upset her, or vice versa. And then we have to sit and talk about why I did this is because this, this, and this. And then the other person would say, well, I would have done it this way because this, this, and this. And I didn't appreciate the way you did it because, like, and then, like, it might have something to do in Jamie's past, this has happened. Or in Katie's past, somebody did this to her and she didn't appreciate it. And so, like, she's coming at it from a place where, like, we all sort of look at the world in our own, through our own lens, and trying to look at the world through other people's eyes is one, impossible, but two, like, even trying to, like, emulate or sort of, like, empathize with where they are is hard because we have such vastly different experiences, being a guy, being a girl, being small town. She was born in Morden, Manitoba, and I don't know if you know where that is, but to put that into Nova Scotian terms, she was born in Sheet Harbor, you know, like, small town. And then moved to the big city of Winnipeg, you know. So, and then her experience has been Winnipeg, which is completely a different culture and a different sort of attitude than what Halifax offers. So I don't know. We're coming at it from two different places, but it's been very neat trying to meld these two family units. And you played this game a long time ago without your own family unit. You were trying to amalgamate into Rod's life and his daughter's lives.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
It is. Yeah. But, you know, like, even, like, I know exactly what you're saying too, because you guys do come from two different parts of Canada, and, like, you guys had your own different upbringing too. And I find, even though, you know, there are huge differences, I find sometimes too, like, there are people that I have either, you know, been with, but even just with, like, Rod and I together, like, we didn't grow up, you know, we grew up in different generations, but, like, we were kind of around the same area, and, like, there are things that are a lot similar, but he's the same kind of as you. Like, his parents have been together forever. Like, they've always been together. I grew up with, you know, split home kind of thing. But I mean, like, my mom and stepfather have been together for like 25 years. So, yeah. I don't know any different that way. Right. But, I find that those, it's such, I think that's why they say like opposites attract, and not like in the sense of like how you grew up, but it's almost like you have something to bring that's different. And I think people crave, something new and different and like a new way of thinking or a new way of processing stuff. And like, I think we all inherently just like crave that ability to kind of grow and learn. And I'm not going to speak for everybody, because there are those people who like to just stick in their own ways and not learn anything. And that's, they want to, anyway, we won't get into that.
Those are the people that have opinions on the internet. They're not willing to, they're yelling at you louder than you're yelling at them, essentially. Yeah. That's the way they're looking at it. It's like, yes, your information out of the way, because now I want to say what I want to say. Yeah. And it's like, but did you read what I said? No, that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you said, because I'm right.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I hate those people.
Exactly.
They're not looking for new information. They're looking to be the loudest person in the shittiest room.
Yeah, that's true. No, but, and I think there are a lot of really good people out there that who really do want to learn and grow and, you know, hear other people's opinions. And so sometimes it is hard as a person, like if you're kind of, you know, if you feel like you're more open-minded, and you have a conversation with someone, and you're like, oh, I really never thought about it that way before, whatever. And then you like kind of voice your opinion back to them and like, no, you're wrong. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just one-sided, one-sided thing. Gotcha. But I think we all, like what I was saying is just, we all kind of, I think, somewhere inside like to have someone that's a little bit different, so we kind of get a little bit of a different experience or a point of view, and something that, you know, I think it's so valuable, especially when raising kids, because no matter what anyone tells you, no one's ever prepared to raise kids. You never know what your kids are going to be like. You never know what you're going to be like as a parent. Like, you cannot say like, I'm going to be this type of parent and I'm never going to do this, blah, blah, blah. You don't know that. You don't know until you're into it, because there's sometimes, and I know there's people out there who feel the same way, where you say something and like your mom or dad or your step parent comes out of your mouth. You're like, oh,
Somebody the other day, they were, it was actually, someone at the club was having their, baby shower at the club.
Mm-hmm.
And he knew I was a dad, and he had, seen my daughter before. And he said, your daughter seems so lovely. Like, do you have any advice for me as a father to be? And I was like, I guess if I had to say one thing, it's that you don't know anything. And he's like, what? And I was like, but it's a good thing. And he's like, what? And I was like, I don't care how many books you read. I don't care like what your life experience has been. You know nothing. So just whenever a question comes up, do what you think is right. Don't stress. Don't freak out. Don't get ahead of yourself. When things come up in a kid's life, and this has been my experience anyway, all of a sudden, this is what I'm going to do. This is the answer. And most of the time, the answer came pretty easily and pretty naturally, which made me feel good about it, because I'm like, well, this is coming from a place of love, and I'm feeling my way through it. And sometimes, you know, oh, that didn't work out. I'll do it differently the next time this comes up. Yeah. And we do. And we talk about it. And talking to your kids is a big deal. But the biggest thing is you know fuck all, which is cool. So don't pretend to know anything. Don't pretend, right? Read all the books you like. Be prepared. But at the end of the day, you're going to be making it up as you go, the same as us.
You know what's good for your own child, right? Like, not every kid is the same. There's no book that you can come out with that's like, this is how you need to parent. Like, there are a lot of helpful things out there, by all means. Uh-huh. Like, there definitely are things out there, like, if you know, these are the certain things that your child's exhibiting or whatever. Maybe, you know, there's such a huge broad spectrum of being a parent. Like, there's nothing that you can just like, here's your instruction guide, have fun, here's your kid. Like, there's no, it's not going to be like that.
here is a map and a set of instructions. Yeah. If you deviate from the map and or the instructions, you're on your own.
Yeah, pretty much.
So there is no tech support for children.
It's so true. It's so true. So I think like every parent just needs to cut themselves slack a lot of the time, because the worst, one of the really tough things, and there's great things about the internet and being connected with other parents and kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. And like, I think that's such a really great thing. If you have like a really good group of other parents who, you know, are supportive and, you know, you're open to talking like, this is what happened or whatever. Like, you don't have to get specific, but like in certain things where you just, where you, maybe you find a little lost and you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, this is what's happening and I don't know how to fix it, or I don't know what to say, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of great resources. If you have some great friends, you have like a group. I know there's some mom groups out there. There's some dad groups out there, like that people find very beneficial, which is great. But there's also that other side, because of course, that's just life, that there's parents out there who judge other parents for the way that they do things and have an opinion about literally everything and everything you're doing. And so it's very hard. Parents are, we're hard on ourselves because we are constantly in fear of being judged about how we're parenting our kids. And so it's really tough to like open up sometimes to other parents because of that fear of being judged. And this is just coming from experience. Cause I'm like,
I am very much the, shut the fuck up, it's not your child kind of parent. Like if somebody's like, I would do it this way, I'm like, well then you should do it that way. Like, I don't, like,
no,
get away from me.
Yeah. And like, I am definitely one of those people. I'm like, cool, good for you. Here's a cookie. Now go away.
Yeah. Like, your input has been noted, discarded, but noted.
I mean, it's like, you don't want to be one of those people who are just like, whatever, my way is right. Like, that's not what I'm saying. It's just more of like, there are some people who are just not, they're not trying to be helpful. They're just trying to be a dick about it. And you're like, okay, you can just piss off. Like, get out of here with your, I know when everything.
When you meet internet trolls in real life. Anyway, it's, it's exactly the feeling.
It really is. You're like, how do I unlike this person? Do I click their arm? I don't know. How do I unlike you?
Yeah. I should have a little thing on their chest where it's like plus minus. It's like, minus. You need to go away.
Yeah. Just straight up judgment.
Yeah. I think there was an episode of The Orville all about that, where this entire planet was like based on this up down system. And if you got too many downvotes, they literally just killed you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was freaking nuts.
That could get rough these days.
Oh my God. We'd all be dead.
Oh, we'd all be dead. We'd all be pressing just our own.
Downvoting. Just eyes closed, just downvoting everyone. Just.
Yeah.
How many down arrows can I hit today?
Yeah. Oh. But we're surviving. We're here. We're surviving.
We're doing it. For now. through COVID, through the lockdown, and dealing with mask holes, putting our children at risk. For those of you that aren't aware of the term, which I can't imagine that anyone on the internet wouldn't be, but mask holes are those people who refuse to wear a mask because it infringes on my freedoms and or whatever their stupid backwards misunderstanding way is. There are people who can't wear masks because of medical reasons. They already have like respiratory issues, whatever. Sure.
Yeah.
Right. If you have a valid reason, fine, don't wear a mask, but also shut the fuck up. So like, don't be like, well, I don't wear a mask, but it's for a valid reason. Then I'm not talking to you. Shut the fuck up. Like if you are capable of wearing a mask, wear a mask. I don't get why it's hard, right? We're going through the second wave right now. Manitoba's spiking. I know you in the Atlantic bubble. You can frig right off. I get it.
It's basically, what was it today? I think it was somewhere around 2,700 new cases across Canada as of like today.
And how many of those were in the Atlantic bubble?
I think there's like three.
Yeah. So like Manitoba has like 20 a day or something like that, which is like low, but problematic.
I think a lot of it is definitely like the Ontario province.
The entire country of Australia has less cases of COVID than Toronto.
That's insane.
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
Wow.
That's a crazy statistic.
Just on this particular topic, but if people really see, like, you know, especially in Nova Scotia, like masks are mandatory. You cannot go into an establishment without wearing a mask. It is absolutely mandatory. Yeah. And there are places still that don't have that as a mandatory requirement, which is crazy. And I think that if they're starting to see, like, these are how low our numbers are because we put these certain things in place in order to protect each other. And like, we care. Like, there are a lot of people who do care, and there's a lot of people who are abiding by these rules. There are even some people who are kind of, you know, being, you know, kind of a dick about it, but they still do it because they know they have to. And like, yes, no one, like, we all want this to be over, but we can't, it's not going to be over until we all kind of come together and realize that it's just not a hoax. It's not going to just go away. It's a legit thing that's killing people. So just wear a mask, wash your hands. Don't go out if you don't have to. Even now, like, I know that there's restaurants and stuff out, and I really, as someone who worked in the industry, like, I really, you know, it's hard to like push, don't go anywhere if you don't have to, but then you also kind of want to support your local businesses. So it's like, you do takeout, you want to support as much as you can locally, but safely. So abide by the rules, be safe, wear your mask, wash your hands. Just don't be a dick, because people are going through it. Like, I think right now, in my experience in just in Nova Scotia and like in my area, it's been so kind of like lovely to almost interact with some people, because we're all just, I shouldn't say all, there's a lot of us that are out to protect each other. So when I'm out at the, you know, at the grocery store and I accidentally, you know, I turn the corner and come up on someone quickly, I'm like, oh God, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, oh my God, I'm sorry. And so we're all just trying to, like, cause we're all Canadian. We're all like, oh no, you first, that's, no, you first.
Yeah. That's a standard Canadian way to do it though. That's,
Yeah, we all just stand there with our masks on, not sure where to go, what arrow's going this way, and you're like, oh my God, like, I saw some lady in the grocery store, God love her, it was the funniest thing, I was coming up because they have, like, the arrows on where you're supposed to go in the grocery store, so this lane, you know, this aisle's going this way, and this aisle's going this way, and so I was coming up to the end of the aisle, and she came in, and she was like, oh, and she just had to grab something that was on the end, so she backed her way in, she walked backwards, to grab what she needed and then kept going.
It's like, it people like, funniest. Oh, it's this street's one way, I'm just gonna back my car down it because at least I'm pointed the right direction.
It's 100% like, what it was. It was so funny. I laughed and she was like, I just needed that, like, I was gonna like scold her, but I was I was laughing and I was like, that is amazing, thank you for doing that. That made me laugh.
Yeah, and it's same thing here, right? In Manitoba, sort of same thing, not quite as over the top with the friendliness, but like, people here are more or less courteous to each other. Mm-hmm. It's the people who are just like yelling at staff members of the liquor store, for instance.
Yeah. Right. Like, people can
the liquor stores, just like in Nova Scotia, the liquor stores here are run by the government, mm-hmm. and it's mandated. If you want to go in a liquor store, you have to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And you got people yelling and screaming at the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's horrible. Same with some of these like small businesses or, you know, stores in the malls, whatever. People are yelling at the staff over what is actually a law. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mandated by the government.
Mm-hmm.
You're yelling at the wrong person
and
being an absolute piece of shit. What if you just put the mask on? Shut the fuck up. And then at the end of the day, if it comes out that masks weren't helpful, which they fucking are, but if we concede at some point that masks did not help at all, then you were slightly inconvenienced for trying to help other people. Whereas not wearing a mask, given the fact that, and we're like, I would say very sure that masks help. Now you're just putting people at risk like an absolute fucking asshole.
But also, like, what is the point of being mean to someone who's trying to help you? You know what I mean? Like, what? I mean, there were always those people pre-pandemic that were just dicks to any retail people, servers, like any sort of customer service
Karens.
People. They're just, I mean, I didn't want to say it, but yeah. absolutely. And so it's, to me, those people who were the people before, like pre-pandemic, who were like that are always going, they're just those people. But it's just, especially you would think, like, in times like this, like, these people, you wouldn't be able to come in here and purchase your groceries if these people didn't come in here and have to work. So don't give those people shit. Like, don't be mean to those people who are, you know, in the very beginning too, we're risking their lives to come in and to be able to keep our country going. Like, the people needed food. People needed to get their groceries. People needed to get their gas. Like, it's just, I don't understand the thought process behind, like, someone being outwardly rude to someone who's just there to allow you to be able to purchase those items or to be able to go out and do these things, because it just makes no sense to me, like those people who are like that. And if I ever saw someone do that, I would 100% call them out.
Listen, if my six-year-old daughter can wear a mask to mm-hmm. and from school and at recess and basically almost all day, mm-hmm. you, a grown-ass adult, can shut, and I can't stress this part enough, the fuck up. Like, just,
yeah.
like, suck it up. Mm-hmm. Try and be a fucking human being that cares just about others.
Nice. Just be nice to people. It's not that
Honestly,
hard.
Honestly, it's not hard. Put a mask no. on. How yeah. hard is that?
Yeah.
Why? Your freedoms are not being... The world is in a pandemic. There's a virus spreading around the planet that threatens to wipe us all out if we don't actually, like, well, I mean, that's a little exaggeration. But look at the number of deaths because of COVID, complications yeah. for people who've just recently had surgery that were completely healthy, yeah. older people who are already have compromised immune systems and things like that, yeah. children who are very vulnerable to diseases and things, and especially kids who are already sick with other sicknesses.
Yeah.
Like, put it up. Put a fucking mask on. Don't be an absolute piece of crap human being. Yep. I don't understand how, if you are healthy and able to wear a mask, you're upset about having to wear a mask. I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. It
Moral
makes
of the story,
no sense.
Stop being a dick. In general, just stop
Don't
being a
be
mean
a
person.
Dick.
Don't be a yes. dick. Please. Just be nice. We'll all get through this. Listen to the podcast. We'll bitch for you. You can bitch along with us. And it's just like, this is, I mean, I think talking about it, like you and I are doing this, but I think if you're someone who is just so incredibly frustrated, just find someone to talk to and just get it out of your system. And then like, you can breathe and be like, okay, someone understands. We're all going through this together. I mean, I would think that most people get it, but some don't. So just don't be a dick. Just be a good person. Be a nice person. We're all trying to get through it. Please. And it's like, and like Adam said, like if our kids can do this with very little instruction, like here, put this on. We want you to be safe and we love you. Have a great day. And they're just like, okay. And then carry on. It's really yeah. that easy.
Yeah. Honestly.
It's like, okay, honestly. Love you too. Bye.
Yeah. That's so, you're indoctrinating children with this like anti-freedom rhetoric. Like, no, I put a mask on my kids so she doesn't get sick.
I love her, so I'd like to keep her.
Yeah. Well, not just that, but like masks don't necessarily help the person wearing the mask as much as they help all the people around the person wearing the mask.
No, 100%.
But if everyone's wearing a mask, then exactly. we're all protected from each other.
Exactly.
It's circular logic.
There
and
are
people
in this. There are people around that can carry it and have zero symptoms. That's the thing. That's what's scary. So why wearing a mask for everybody being mandatory means you like that risk just depletes because everyone's yep. wearing one. So we don't have to, I mean, you still stress, you worry, you wash your hands, you do all those other things. However, it just,
but
it
we,
just
we can't
that.
Be surprised that people are resisting.
No,
there
I
is
not.
An ant, the anti-vax movement. Those people are very, very, they lean right into this
very
whole
vocal.
Anti-mask thing. Like those types of people who hold views based on outdated, proven wrong information, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, but I still believe it. Like, that doesn't, Karen, fuck off. That doesn't make it like
no matter
real
what's
like
going on in the world that those people are, like I said, those people exist, they're gonna
exactly.
always exist. We just need to, as you know, as the nice people of the world, I can definitely be an asshole. There's no question. Rod, don't come for me if you're listening to this. He would be like, no, yeah. she's not. But we need to continue to do what we're doing. Spread the good information. Be positive. Do all of that. And then hopefully we'll quiet those idiots the fuck down. And we'll just continue
yeah.
on with. We'll
and
just
and continue, I might recommend, on. Don't argue with idiots on the internet. We
Please don't. Please
everybody
don't.
Keeps saying it. Everybody keeps saying it. Everybody keeps saying it. But what
I've
happens
done it.
Is.
Don't do it.
People are like, I just got to say this one thing.
I know. Like, it's not worth it. Don't do it.
Anti-mask people and or people who support Trump and or people who are anti-vax or people who think that COVID is a hoax. Mm-hmm. These people can't be reasoned with. And there is a phenomenon, and I forget the name of it, but you can look it up.
Stupid.
And I think we've talked about it before, but it's on this podcast if you go back to any of our legacy episodes. But there is this phenomenon where the less people, like the less a person knows, the more they think they know. Like the less educated right. a human is, the more they think they know. And that's crazy, which is why when I post something on the internet and somebody's like, oh, actually, have you seen this? I'm like, oh, no. And I go, you know what? I will look into this instead of, yeah, but fuck you. Is why is there such hostility all of a sudden out of nowhere?
Like that escalated very quickly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And but that's how people on the internet argue.
I think that's like I said earlier. Has been like, it's just like we started off the year and then we're just a meme now. We're just like, well, that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
Like that's literally what 2020 is right now.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
Wasn't it like the third day of the year, the world, like half the world was on fire, like Australian wildfires and like in California and half of the states is on fire right now.
It's
I think.
Unreal. Is that, it's unreal.
It's nuts. It's the apocalypse. And we're all just like, ha ha, this is fine.
Still internet feuding.
Yeah. And we're just
fuck
like,
you, you're wrong.
I don't want to wear a mask. It's the end of the world. Who gives a shit at this point?
Like, yeah.
All right. Well, you enjoy your trip to hell or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know. Anyway, it's chaos out there. Everybody be good to each other. Everybody be safe. Be kind. Be courteous. And like Katie said, don't be a dick. Like just don't be a dick. It's really fucking easy. Don't be a dick. Be a dick.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's very difficult and I can speak true to that because sometimes I have a hard time just not, you know, asshole coming out of my mouth sometimes. Like I catch myself every now and then, but you know, but for the most part, I'm a pretty decent person, I think.
I think so too. Otherwise, I wouldn't do this podcast with you. Yeah, pace a shit.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
But no, but Katie, thank you for like. Let's. I'm so glad we did this.
Me too.
We'll get this episode up either later today or maybe we'll bank them for Thursdays. We'll do it. We'll do the recording on the Wednesday and I'll post it on the Thursday.
Yeah,
but we'll get it up. It'll be on the WPG. So if you go to the WPG.ca, it will be hosted there. For those of you that are in Nova Scotia. You can go there as well. It's not exclusive for those that are in Winnipeg, although it's targeted at. But you can then, but you can also subscribe anywhere. All the places you can subscribe will be on the page. So if you go to the WPG.ca, I think /network, you'll see all the podcasts listed, and we'll.
And we still have our Instagram account. We have our Twitter account, and.
Yeah, we'll start updating that a little more.
Well, yeah, I've got some stuff backlogged or whatever. But yeah, I mean, you can still find us in our regular places. But we'll kind of push that a little bit more once we get this out and we'll start doing this more regularly. So you can still find us literally anywhere. And also wherever you find podcasts, it's Apple Play Music or Spotify or
yeah,
Anchor
Google Podcasts now because Google Play Music is toast this month.
Okay, perfect. But
Google Podcasts. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, I think like Breaker, Stitcher, what else?
Things.
Overcast, Pocket Cast. Like there's a ton of places you can go and listen to this.
Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot to catch up on. So like, I mean, this is the start and like, we'll just kind of, it'll be, I mean, I was going to say it's going to be a little less ranty, but no, yeah. It's not. This is per ranting. So this is what
exactly the entire idea.
If you
speaking
don't want
of which,
to rant, then go away.
If you're listening to this and you want to rant, you can either send us a voice clip or you can write out your rant and assuming it isn't an hour long read, we'll read it on the podcast. So like we would love to hear your rants about parenting and all the struggles that come with that. And maybe it's COVID related. Maybe it isn't COVID related. There's a lot of things that we can complain about without adding COVID to the mix because kids are awesome and awful at the same time. And that's the paradox of life is we're trying to raise these little assholes to be less assholy as they get older. So they're born little psychopaths and then we teach them empathy and hopefully they learn it. Otherwise they just stay psychopaths. So, you know, that's sort of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank you very much for learning. Over here in Winnipeg, I'm Mark Adam.
And here in Halifax, Nova Scotia, I'm Katie G.
Yeah. What? Yeah, I don't know what that was.
That's terrible.
So,
don't do that.
So I think that'll be the end of the episode for today. We will see you next week. This is a weekly podcast. That would be wonderful if we can actually stick to that schedule. Wouldn't it be wonderful?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? So we'll see you next week.
I'm so excited. thank you for doing this episode, and I'm so excited to be back, and I cannot wait to get this going again and interacting with you guys again. I miss it, so thank you.
Peace.
Peace.